worship today. Amen. Don't ever be shy about singing. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Scripture encourages and admonishes us. And boy, I tell you one thing about a cappella singing. It's either really good or it's really bad, you know. And it's really good here in this place. If you're a guest with us this morning, I just, again, want to reiterate what was spoken earlier, that we are honored by your presence. I hope that you will find your time among us really encouraging. I just want you to know that you're welcome. We open up our hearts, our lives to you. And today is a kind of a special day. We are going to give honor to our graduates, Sky Swatek. Sky, raise your hand back there so everybody sees you. Everybody look back at Sky. And also Marin. Marin Ellis, she's right here. Everybody say hi to Marin. These are our two seniors this year. And today's message is really directed to them. I don't know if that's going to make you two feel a little bit awkward today since I'm talking to you specifically. But I want you to envision today much like the rest of us would envision a wedding ceremony. Y'all, we've all been to weddings, and some of you have been married, right? Right. And when you go to a wedding and you hear the vows that are spoken back and forth, very often husbands and wives will kind of snuggle up beside each other, and you have that remember when moment, and it reminds you of the vows that you made. Today will be that for the rest of you. So I'm addressing Marin and Sky, but today's lesson, I hope, is an experience and an affirmation to the rest of you. Somebody just pointed, there's another senior here. There's Victoria. She is from Bay City. So Victoria, I'm going to speak to you today too. And there was another? Ty. Where is Ty at? Ty. All right. I've got my four. You guys are in my sights today. And I really hope that I encourage you with the message. Around the globe, people love superhero films, right? Yeah, there's Batman, there's Spider-Man, there's Thor, there's Superman, there's Captain America. And to be inclusive, we better put a Superwoman in there. Amen, ladies? All right. Everybody loves the superhero, and they love a superhero story. And all of the superhero stories follow a similar plot line. It begins with, there is this person that has no idea that they're a superhero. They have no knowledge of their innate abilities, or they have not had some accident in a lab, which is going to transform them in some kind of special way. And as the movie goes on, you know, they learn and they discover that they're superheroes. And then near the end of the movie, there's a, well, before we get to the near the end, before they were superheroes, they were getting beat up. Just a normal, low, everyday, average person. And life is just getting knocked out of them all the time. And then they discover, or then they have this accident. And then they become superheroes. And then they save the day and the movie's over. Right. Same plot line. Every single superhero movie storyline. Now, in the movie, there is, after the discovery has occurred, or after the accident has occurred, there is this part of the movie where there's usually a really cool song in the soundtrack playing in the background, and all the superhero-to-bes, they're doing their training. And it's a very short part of the movie. And it's very boring part of the movie. And so we get through all that training part. Now, that training part of the movie is called a montage. Everybody say that with me. It's a montage. All right. And so the montage, you have all these little scenes that's telling us, hey, we know that training is boring, but training is very important. They're never going to become a full-fledged superhero and win the day unless they go through this training. But because it takes so long, we're going to shorten it up so that you get the idea that they've discovered their abilities, they've trained, and now they're ready to get on to the big event of the movie, right? In which the main activity is going to occur, in which they're going to save the day. Training is boring. Amen? Training is tedious, but let me say this. So hear this, graduates. Training is everything. Training is everything. Nothing happens without training. Without the training, our hero is just a person with a bunch of cool powers he doesn't know how to harness. Without the training, the world isn't saved and the bad guys aren't thwarted. Without the training, we don't have a story. Instead, we have a hero who gets squashed because they've not done their training, and the villain gets his way on to victory. Life is montage. That's the message I want you to hear today. That training is everything, and that life is montage. Now, you and I live in a time, this is really interesting, with all kinds of social media. You know what people post on social media? They post the events, like the fantastic, awesome, fabulous, short moments of life. And if you spend any time on social media or things like Facebook, you begin to go, wow, everybody else's life is amazing. In contrast, mine is pathetic and boring. But what is true for them is true for all of us, that these great moments along the way are very, very short and special in nature. But those special moments never occur, those successful moments never occur, church family and graduates, without training. So today, I'm going to use an acrostic. Y'all. So it's going to stand for grad. All of you are grads. So G-R-A-D, this is what I'm going to be working from today, a grad. And each letter stands for a point or a theme that I want you to think about and take to heart in life as you do your montage, as you do your training, which is going to be a lifetime experience for you. That's not a good thing. That's just the way life is, continually training for those very special and powerful moments that come along life's way. So what does the G stand for? Here we go. Number one, G stands for glorify God, not yourself. Everybody say that with me. Glorify God, not yourself. Now this is a really important point, and it's the first one. It's the first one. And it may be the most difficult one because you guys were the first generation of the notorious selfie. Has anyone here ever heard the word selfie? Right, right. And not that selfies are evil and that you as Christians have to stop doing selfies. It's just that you have grown up in a period and a time in which you have become very comfortable with the lens of life pointed at you. Matter of fact, you may feel like you're on all the time and that someone is watching, and so we can become a generation of people that's focused on ourselves. Listen, we need to glorify God, not ourselves. And here's why. God is worthy of your love and loyalty, and that's why you honor God above yourself. This world begins and ends with God. This is really important for you to understand. The scripture opens up with, help me church, in the beginning, say it with me, God. All right, let's say that again. In the beginning, God. The scriptures begin with God, and do you know what? The scripture story ends with God. Scripture ends in Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 and 13. Look, I'm coming soon, Jesus says. I am the Alpha and the, say it with me, the Omega. We do have some Greek scholars. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Scripture begins with God and it ends with God. Folks, get this. The story of the world is God's story. You're not the main player in it. You're not the one that glory is all about. It is God that is the main character in the story, and we live in His world. I want you to know this and take this to heart, that an effort to glorify your heart is stupid. I'm trying to make this as simple as possible. Glorifying yourself is stupid. And the reason we know it's stupid is because this was tried by the very first couple that lived on the face of the earth. Remember what the story goes, how it tells us that Adam and Eve, they were tempted, and they were tempted not because the fruit was just beautiful and that it was just good for food, but it was great for gaining wisdom. And the promise was that the serpent said to the man and the woman is that you will be like God. See, Adam and Eve were not comfortable with the idea, or they had bought into this lie given by Satan to drive a wedge between them and God and their glorious relationship with one another. They were given this lie that they could make the story of their life about themselves. We could say in Scripture, in Genesis chapter 3, that was the first selfie. Amen? There's the first story of the selfie. You are going to go along in life, guys, and you're going to get some important feedback. Because when you begin to glorify yourself rather than God, you're going to find that life does not work that way. And if you want to try it, it may take you a number of years for you to discover that the story is not about you, but God includes you in this amazing story that He is writing. But if you get out of God's story and into yourself, your own story, you're going to get some feedback, all right? For instance, John, what are you talking about? Have any of you ever driven down the road and one of your wheels is out of balance or out of line, right? And you're driving down the road and what does it start to do? You feel this, da 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 da. And then you can do this. You can do this. That's no big deal. And a lot of humans do that when they get feedback in their life. When they get the story about themselves and not about God, they'll start getting some feedback and it's da 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 da. And life's getting a little rougher and it's getting a little rougher and it's a lot. And if you continue down that path, guess what's going to happen? Well, it gets out of the line more. And then you're like, I know that's terrible. I apologize for the image and the sound, but I want you to get the idea. Now you can do one of two things. You can go, oh, something's wrong, okay? Then you've gotten the feedback, right? Oh, something's wrong. I should probably do something about this. And you change that course of action. You literally come to change your life. And you can get into God's story again, and all of a sudden you got, man, it is glorious. It begins to smooth. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own, help me, church, lean not on your own understanding. Oh, you mean I need to lean on God? Yeah, because God created life and it works really well when we obey Him. Okay? And so you're going to get some feedback. And so you can decide, oh, I can continue down this course and it's really bad. You know, and eventually what happens, folks, if you're driving a vehicle and your wheel gets out of line and you ignore it and you just drive that much harder. Hey, I can drive faster, I'll drive harder, and it'll eventually smooth out. What eventually happens? The tire explodes. The vehicle wrecks. And you end up sidelined in the ditch of life. You know what the good news of God is? Folks, this is gospel. That Jesus Christ entered the world to save sinners. And Paul says, of who I am the chief. There's nobody here that's perfect. You guys are going to be getting some feedback in life, and I pray to God that you will glorify God and not yourself. When you choose to glorify self, you're going to get that feedback in life. And so I want to encourage you. Let me help you and all of us understand our place. So if you say, okay, John, it's not about me and it's about God, well, then where do I fit in the created order? In Psalm chapter 8, I want to invite y'all to turn there. Psalm chapter 8, David writes this psalm, and it must have been nighttime that gave him his inspiration as he saw. If any of you ever been to West Texas at nighttime and seen the sky? I mean, you can't do that in Wharton County. There's just too much humidity. It's not near as amazing as somewhere, maybe Colorado and New Mexico, somewhere where there's low humidity. Y'all know what I mean? Today we have soaking humidity. I think it's 100% humid outside. I saw Frankie Petter. He was soaking wet. I offered him a bar of soap, and he hadn't had a bath in a while, but he refused to take it. All right, Psalm chapter 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. He didn't say how majestic is my name. He said how majestic is your name. You've set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies. Little babies, God can defend your glory and proclaim your goodness. Verse 3, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and stars, which you've set in place. Okay, he's like, okay, I'm seeing creation. Where am I in the midst of all of this that you have created? Listen to what he says. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. You've made them a little lower than the angels. And here it is. You ought to underline it in your Bibles. And crowned them with glory and honor. Okay, so get this. Your glory and your honor is not based on how you look. It's not based on your achievements. It's not based on your accomplishments. Your glory and honor is a gift from Almighty God. And you already possess that. Now, do you hear that? Do you hear that? If you understand that you already possess the gift of glory and honor, doesn't that take the pressure off just a little bit? Can't you enjoy the freedom of who you are as a child of God? And from that position, then live out your glory that God has given you. In other words, church family and graduates, you have nothing to prove. You have only to live out that which you already are. If any of you agree with that, to the grads, can you give me an amen? Amen. That's the true story. And so in a world of image, right, in which we really try to demonstrate dominance through image for guys, what is it? It's their six-pack abs, their six-pack of beer, and the babe at their shoulder, okay? That's image, right? And I'm not for sure. I don't know what to say about girls. Cosmetics, clothes, and shoes. Why is it that ladies' closets are so much larger than men's? I mean, you look at the way houses are built today, and it says some unique things about the human race and unique things about women. I better be careful there. I get that. Here's the point I'm trying to make. In a world of image, I don't want you to fall for that. I want you to accept and live out the reality that you are an imager. You were made in God's image. Now live this out. Okay, so glorify God, not yourself. All right, I got three more points, and it's not going to take long. So here we go. Number two, reach for wisdom, not independence. Reach for wisdom, not independence. Independence will result from wisdom that you have gained from God. If you want bondage, if you want to be controlled, then do it your way. I think Elvis years ago sang a song, I did it my way. He's not the original one, but that's the one I remember. Yeah, you guys remember when y'all were 2 years old? Maybe not. But you probably said something like this when your parents were trying to help you. You reached that stage of when you're going to assert independence, which is a normal developmental stage of your life. And you said, do it my, parents say it with me, do it my, you heard it. You heard them say it, do it myself. What if we as parents go, oh, okay. Literally. We go, oh, okay. Do it yourself. I mean, from now on, since you reach that age of independence in which you already know that you've got it all figured out, and you say, do it myself, and your parents go, okay, what's going to happen to your parents? Well, first of all, what's going to happen to you? Disaster. And this is what's going to happen to your parents. Something like this. And then they get carried away to the county jail. No. Listen, you have a heavenly father, a heavenly Abba, is what Scripture says. And I don't want to encourage you in life to do it yourself. Do it with God. Do it with God. Do it with God's help. Now, Jesus grew, as you all have. The scripture, Luke 2:52 says, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor. So he's growing in wisdom. What did I say? Reach for wisdom, not independence. How did Jesus grow? Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature physically. And as a result of his wisdom that he gained through what he learned, okay, you get wisdom, you naturally grow in stature. It's just the way God made you. He grew in favor, important word, with God and with men. When one has wisdom in their life and they come from God's word, you naturally relate really well to God and to others. And if either one of those relationships are not working right, here's what you need to do. You need to go back and get some more wisdom. And the more wisdom you gain in life, then you're going to discover, you're going to get feedback. Remember, it's not just, life's not good. You're going to get some feedback that goes, wow, life is amazing. Life is a privilege. Life is a joy. You're going to get that feedback. Proverbs, and you think about Adam and Eve, they didn't reach for wisdom. They reached for independence. Do you get that? They reached for independence. They wanted to do it their own way. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. And a lot of people live like that. Psalm 28:26, he who trusts in himself is a fool. There it is. There's wisdom from Scripture. So reach for wisdom, not independence. Third, accept responsibility for your life. Let me say that one more time, in case you didn't hear that. Accept responsibility for your life. There was a study that was done, here's what brought about this study. People have noticed that Asian children tend to do a lot better and score higher in math than American children do. And a lot of people have postulated that the reason is it's just an innate natural giftedness that Asian children are just better at mathematics than American children are. And so there was this research that was done, and it was among first graders. And so what the researchers did is they had a puzzle that they wanted first grade Asian children to figure out and first grade American children to figure out. And this is what they were interested in. They weren't interested in who finished the puzzle first. What they looked at is who stayed with it the longest. American children on average stayed with it a little over 9 minutes. Asian children stayed with it almost 14 minutes. There's the difference that we have in Asian and Americans is not an innate natural math giftedness. What we have, it's not intelligent quotient. What we have is a persistence quotient difference. Is that we as Americans, we tend to give up. And one of the ways we give up is we refuse to accept responsibility for our life. And we want a scapegoat. When something goes wrong in our lives, it's not we who bear some responsibility or all of the responsibility. What do we naturally do? Right? They did it. It's them. Because it can never be me. That's not taking responsibility for your life. I love the words of Theodore Roosevelt, one of our former presidents, which you should know that already. It's a great quote. Here you go. If you could kick the person in the pants responsible for most of your trouble, you wouldn't sit for a month. Now that is a true statement. Okay. All right, so let me share with you this. Let me share with you a passage in Galatians. And this is really important. I would love for you to underline this in your Bibles. Galatians chapter 6. And I want you to take this one to heart, verses 3 through 5. And this is what it says. And I've talked a lot about this at different times at our church. If anyone thinks they are something, I love that. When they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Didn't I say something about personal responsibility? Each one should test their own actions, and then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. Seems to me Scripture is interested in helping us not be interested in what everybody else is doing, which is really hard. Not only as an adolescent, not only as someone moving into adulthood, but also for those of us who are adults here. Comparison, social comparison, intellectual comparison, all kinds of comparison. Scripture's trying to say, don't compare yourself to anybody else. Look at verse 3. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. So y'all need to give me some money today for this instruction. All right, now, here it is. Very important. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Okay, now, here it is. So write this down. The law of returns. Okay? There it is. The law of returns. This scripture should either scare you to death or make you really excited about life. Okay? It's called the law of returns. Okay, here it goes. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from their flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. There it is. So let me bring it down. Here we go. If you want friends, sow friendship. If you want honor, share honor with others. If you want joy, create joy for others. If you want love, give love to others. You reap what you sow. It's just the way God made the world. So be accountable for your life. And here's three ways you need to accept immediate responsibility for your life. Okay? Three ways you need to accept immediate responsibility for your life. Number one, your education. It's nobody else's job, but it's yours. It's your life. Okay? If you sow, If you give it your best and you work with integrity, guess what? You will reap the benefits of that education. Education, you need to take immediate responsibility for your life. Number two is, all right, I'm scanning for young ears. I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. Here we go. Your sexuality. You need to take immediate responsibility for your sexuality. Let me share a passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That Paul says about this. And the reason I say this is because so many lives are sidelined because they have not kept sexuality in its proper parameters and boundaries. And Scripture imparts wisdom to us with regard to these things. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 18, he says, flee from it. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Okay. You know, sometimes if you offend somebody, you've sinned against them, or you can sin against God and you can create a hostile relationship between you and God. Okay, so think about, you have a relationship with your physical body. Think about that. And if you sin sexually, you are sinning, like you are transgressing, like you're doing something with your body that your body is not designed to do, because it's going to bring about a destructive effect. He goes on to say this. He goes, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. So here we go. You and I live in a world in which we turn on the radio, and everything on the radio is sex, 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 and it has nothing to do with marital sex. There's no songs anymore on country music about a husband loving a wife. That ended with Jimmy's generation, right? Yeah, he was a part of it, and a bunch of the rest of you. That was their generation where it talked about, you know, I remember a song about a ring, and, you know, I'm not going to sing it to you today for the sake of time, but yeah, in years gone by, we've had songs that esteemed and gave honor to marriage. Not today. You turn on, that's the radio, you turn on the television. Are there any intimate scenes on television between a husband and a wife? Oh, no, not at all. And so, and then you get on the internet, and what do you see? You know, it's a portal to unlimited sexual immorality and debauchery. So you live in a world, and you swim in a world, and you breathe the air in a world in which everybody has the culture has said, this is normal. What you don't see is all the fallout as a result of that. What you don't see is the addictions that occur. What you don't see is the human carnage on the radio or on the television. You don't hear about families that are broken up and lives that are broken up and changed. You don't hear about the impact that comes from sexuality outside of boundaries. I want to challenge you guys. And it's a big challenge. It's a big hurdle to climb. And that is this, to dedicate your sexuality to God. Dedicate your sexuality to God. When you said, Jesus is Lord, do y'all remember when you were baptized, right? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and do you want to make him the Lord of your life? And you said, yes. Okay. Our lives are not segmented. Like, here's my public life, and here's my educational life, and here's my artistic life, and we can segment all different parts of our life. And so the Lord, he can be Lord over this part, and he can be Lord over this part, but I don't know about him being Lord over all. Jesus Christ is Lord of our sexuality. And again, it's on you. Accept responsibility for your life. There's this law of returns. One reaps what one sows. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap destruction from the flesh. So take responsibility for your education, your sexuality. Hey, folks, take responsibility for your work. Scripture tells us that we work for the Lord, not for men. All right. So, glorify God, not yourself. Reach for wisdom, not independence. Accept responsibility for your life is number three. And then finally, number four, here's the D for grad. Here we go. Are y'all ready? It's not going to take long. This is it. Daily give thanks. Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Life is a gift. You did not create you. You are the result of. Therefore, you are a gift. As a matter of fact, everything in this world is a gift. Amen? Today you're going to take about approximately 23,000 breaths. Which one of those will you thank God for? How about it, grads? Glorify God, not yourself. Reach for wisdom, not independence. Accept responsibility for your life. And then daily, church family, daily give thanks. There's your training regimen. You got it? That's your training regimen. That's your montage. You live out that montage and you will reap blessings upon blessings in the Lord. If you agree with today's lesson on behalf of our grads, would you say amen?
Amen.
Hey, church family, we commit it to the Lord. If we can serve anyone, we invite you forward while we stand and sing.
Just as I am.